Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
PPR Mock. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football live stream. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is Mr. Big Pod Energy, Andrew Erickson, and, of course, Mr. Head of Content, Matthew Friedman, the Oracle, the All-Knowing, is here as well, along with some of our friends, to do a little fun PPR mock draft. And today is going to be a fun time because we've got a lot of our listeners, a lot of our watchers all hanging out with us today. We have chosen some people over there on the social media aspects, but we've also pulled a lot of people specifically from our Discord at fantasypros.com/chat, which, again, membership has its benefits, people. You gotta be in the Discord. That way you can be involved in fun things like this, and you can be famous, right, Andrew Erickson? I mean, that's how you got on this show today.
Obviously. You needed the glamour, and that's why I'm here.
Yes. Speaking of glamour, I see also Matthew Friedman, no hat today on the live stream. So I just want to check in, make sure everything's okay. Was it in the wash? What's the deal? What's going on here?
Just trying to class up the show. But I also saw that you guys weren't wearing hats. So I wanted to blend in, you know,
I just like that.
Try to let you guys know what's going on, you know, up there with the hair situation. It's somewhere between you two. That's what's going on.
It's the three stages, depending on if you're talking about like going when you're keeping your hair or deciding that you're just accepting life and just, you know, just giving up. So that would be me. I'm on that side. Obviously, that's the end of that spectrum. Today, we are not going to give up. We are going to have an incredible mock draft again using that software, fantasypros.com/draftwizard. If you want to have drafts with your friends, with your enemies, with people that you don't know, with complete strangers, you have all these options. So we have the draft simulator to use for yourself. We have the public mock drafts going on where you can mock against other people. And then we've got this multi-user draft software where you can share the link around and do some amazing things. Again, that's over at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. And of course, we're on our YouTube channel today. So if you're listening to the podcast version of this, I encourage you strongly to go over to youtube.com/fantasypros, subscribe today to our Fantasy Pros channel, because guess what? More free stuff. I know you love the free stuff. We're giving it to you. We're giving away a Gabriel Davis autographed jersey thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. All you have to do is be a subscriber of our Fantasy Pros channel on YouTube. Very simple. You click the little bell till it goes ding for notifications, and you make a comment. Oh my God, what an amazing draft pick Matthew Friedman made. Oh my goodness, I can't believe Andrew Erickson picked that guy there. Oh my goodness, Joe Pizzapia, why'd you give up on life? Anything like that. It all fits. It all works. So this is how you do it. Subscribe to Fantasy Pros, our YouTube channel. Make a comment. Next thing you know, that Gabriel Davis jersey can be yours. And of course, we're not just on YouTube. We're also on the TikTok as well. You can follow us at Fantasy Pros there. We're all over the social media. We're blowing up. Ryan Warmley's doing great work there. Tara Roberts, even Andrew Erickson. Because he's young and the kids love him on the TikTok. They go crazy for him. So today the mock draft is a PPR mock draft. Very simple. We're going to need the full point per perception or reception or something. I don't know. There's not enough reception, perception, or I've been told it's starting to get already crazy here. As you can tell, this is already peak season for us, if you can believe it. And the season is just starting to kick things off here with training camp. So today, just to go through where we are, Big Pot Energy is starting things off. He is at the one spot. Matthew Friedman is in the middle at 106. I am at the 112. So anything here, boys, before we kick things off? Andrew Erickson, are you prepared? Are you ready to go and start this draft?
Yeah, because I am going to defend the honor of the one and only 101 of who should be drafted there.
I heard this has become a bit of a debate lately. Now, Matthew Friedman, a few other people are starting to make the case for Christian McCaffrey. So obviously, I feel like he's starting to throw some stones at you here, Friedman, already. And we haven't even officially kicked things off here. We got 10 seconds to the first pick, and you would be taking CMC. Is that correct here, Friedman?
Yeah, if I had like 100 drafts where I'm the 101, I would probably take CMC like 55% of the time, Jonathan Taylor 45% of the time. You know, like, it's not for me like stone locked that CMC has to be number one.
All right. So the CMC flavored Kool-Aid is back in stock at the Matthew Friedman house. So we'll kick things off here. We've got Jonathan Taylor going the 1-1. Andrew is a man of his word. Then we have Jalvin joining us here. He is picking second here. We have Boston Knifers, I believe, or
was it Kingfishers?
Kingfishers. Oh, I can't see. I'm too old now. I need to wear the glasses for some of these. What? The Boston Kingfishers? Oh, there we go. We got Buenos Aires in here. We've got the Miracle Workers picking before Friedman. Then we have Brandon after that. And we've got John. We've got Z. We've got a whole bunch of fun people here in the draft today. So once again, we have kicked things off here. Christian McCaffrey goes 2. So clearly he was listening to Friedman's rant there about getting the exposure to CMC, which puts the third pick now up on the clock. So if these two were the ones going off the board first here, as seems like a lot of drafts might look like this in August, Friedman, where would you go next with the third spot? Would it be Jefferson, who just got selected?
So I think it's one of the wide receivers, and you can make the case for Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, or Ja'Marr Chase, or I think you go with the next running back. For me, I would go the next running back, and that would be Austin Eckler. I prefer him to Derrick Henry, to some of the other options, and I want to be heavy on running back in the early rounds because I want to go wide receiver in rounds 3 through 6.
Well, it makes sense in the PPR, too. I understand the Eckler love there. That's for sure. Cooper Kupp goes next at the 4 spot. So now we're at 1-5. Eckler still on the board with 30 seconds to go. We'll see if he comes off there. Andrew Erickson, you seem to be more of the mind of me, which is we are pushing the wide receivers up the channel, up the round, so to speak. And Matthew Friedman, still very much about the running backs early. You seem to be a little bit more on my side about the early wide receivers. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, after Taylor and McCaffrey, I think that there's almost like a tier drop for the other running backs with Jefferson, Kupp, and Chase. I just want those guys on my team. Like, I just look at these elite wide receivers, and I would put even Stephon Diggs in the category as well. I think that he has a lot of upside in the Bills offense. I think that he left a lot of production on the table last year. I think that he could have improved significantly from his numbers from 2021. So you just can't find those elite guys. Like, it's really hard to find and replace elite wide receiver production off the waiver wire, where you can find back end RB1s, you know, on the waivers later in the year because guys get hurt and there are injuries. And we know running backs are related to volume. So if I get the opportunity to get a receiver that I can lock in 1,400 receiving yards, double digit touchdowns in PPR, I just feel great about that.
All right. So in a row, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and Ja'Marr Chase all go in a row. So clearly, most people who are very smart here, obviously, in this draft agree with me about going up and putting all those wide receivers up early. Eckler, you actually got him, Friedman, so you must be very excited. He slipped all the way to the 106 pick here to you. So how do you feel right now?
Yeah, happy to get him there. I do agree with Erickson in that I think Diggs belongs in that tier with those other three wide receivers. I think he's the fourth guy in that tier. He often doesn't go in that tier, which means I think he is someone who provides value later in round 1 or in round 2 if he slips there.
All right. Well, it is clearly a very strong feeling here of runs because Jefferson, Kupp, and Chase go. And then it has come back to me after a run of running backs and then Travis Kelce. So I have my my choice here. I can go ahead and take one of the running backs here. But once again, I kind of like continue to pick up a wide receiver. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass Mixon, pass Aaron Jones. I think I can get some value a little bit later on. I'm going to go ahead and take Stephon Diggs and my boy Davante Adams. I was hoping I would get one of them. I've got both of them. So it feels real good right now to start my team off with Diggs and Adams. And I will look at the running back depth when it comes back to me. Also, because we see this run here after Eckler goes, Dalvin Cook goes, Najee Harris. Cook is a great value at 107 there. Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Swift, then Travis Kelce goes to Justin at 111. I took the two wide receivers. Going back here for the 202, Aaron Jones goes next. So Justin has started with Travis Kelce and Aaron Jones. Mr. Andrew Erickson, how do you feel about that start when you start with the tight end in the first round? Is Travis Kelce still a first round guy for you, even at the end of the first round?
I don't really think so. I don't like taking him in the first round, honestly. He's a total, you know, you're basing it on volume in the Chiefs offense. And I think that he has probably a pretty high floor, but he's also getting up there in age. Like, you know, tight ends don't necessarily age well. And, you know, what happens if he hits a wall here? It's like you took him in the first round. You're expecting him to be an elite difference maker when he wasn't necessarily even that last year necessarily. So is he going to be better? Is he going to get more targets because there's no Tyreek Hill? Like, I don't think so. It's just going to be more flat across the board with those other wide receivers in that offense. So in round two, I'm a little more open to taking Travis Kelce in a 10-team or 8-team league where you get a bigger advantage at having at the onesie position. I'm more open to taking Kelce. But more often than not, I find myself preferring other options rather than Travis Kelce at the back end of round one.
The Fantasy Yeti started off here at the 110 spot with DeAndre Swift in the second round, took Joe Mixon at the 203. I love that start. I think it's a fantastic way to start your teams. I like to start with wide receivers, though. That's where I'm at right now. That's my headspace, as the kids like to say. Josh then took CeeDee Lamb to go with Derrick Henry, another grouping and pairing that I think is a really nice start. Najee Harris and Mike Evans go together on Z's team. Then Brandon in the second round took Saquon Barkley at the 206, which puts Matthew Friedman up next at 207. So Friedman, talk to us about your selection.
So I took Mark Andrews, and this is staying pretty true to the board that I laid out in my Perfect Draft article, which you can find in the Draft Kit. Nailed it, company man there, really plugging the product for the people. Yeah. But honestly, this I feel like was a little bit of a worst case scenario. I was hoping that someone like Aaron Jones or CeeDee Lamb would fall to 207. But I still like Mark Andrews. I think he's closer to the Kelce tier than he is to Pitts or Kittle or Waller. I think he's going to be the number one option in there. He's got touchdown upside. And, you know, he's just going to, I think, be peppered with targets similar to what we saw at the end of last season. So happy to get Kittle in the second round, lock in the tight end position, and then focus on wide receiver in rounds 3-6.
Certainly a huge season last year for Mark Andrews, even without Lamar Jackson for large stretches of time. Leonard Fournette goes next at the 208. That goes to Miracle Walkers. And then Buenos Aires takes James Conner at 209 to pair with Cooper Kupp. So now the teams that had wide receivers are taking those RBs. You see Jamar Chase paired up there with Leonard Fournette, Cooper Kupp, and James Conner. We'll see what the Boston Kingfishers. I'm sorry, I called you the Knife Fighters, I think, before. I told you, the old eyes. This is what happens here. Chris has got me in this new setup here where I can barely see what's going on. I think that's Andrew Erickson. It could be Derek Brown. I have no idea. But Boston go ahead and takes Javonte Williams. It goes for the upside play there, too, which I personally love. Swing for the fences, baby. Let's go. So Boston Kingfishers goes ahead, takes Javonte Williams, which goes to Jalvin here, who's already started with Christian McCaffrey. Now, you don't want to give away the farm here, but it is your job, first and foremost, to talk to the board, Andrew Erickson. You are an analyst, first and foremost. So tell me, if you have everything go your way, who are the two picks you'd like to make here coming up next?
I'm probably looking at one of the wide receivers. So I am kind of waiting with bated breath to see what Jalvin's going to do, because that may deter exactly what my strategy is. But I'm looking at some of these breakout receivers, whether it's a T. Higgins or a Michael Pittman Jr. as my first wide receiver, or my second wide receiver, excuse me, that I could pretend, or no, my first receiver. I have Jonathan Taylor on my team. Apologize.
He does catch a lot of balls, in our fairness. So just saying. So Nick Chubb just got selected. So there you go.
Yeah. So I'm going to take a receiver here with my first pick, or my in the second round. I'm going to go with T. Higgins.
Okay, T. Higgins going to Mr. Big Pod Energy. So you got one wide receiver. I can only assume Michael Pittman is the next pick for you, right? Am I correct, or am I jumping the gun?
No, I you're spot on. Yeah, no, I think I know my go dudes. I'm gonna go with Michael Pittman here.
All right, staying true to your look. This is what you do, right? You put in all the research, you put in all the work. You've got two guys here. T. Higgins is a 1A on a great offense, and Michael Pittman supposedly should be the one there. You're at peace, right, just so I understand, at passing on somebody like Keenan Allen, who is tried and true and very proven, because you don't see the same upside there anymore, correct? Is that the concept right here? You're looking for floor slash upside, and you think Keenan Allen just kind of is who Keenan Allen is at this stage in his career?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to devalue or, you know, knock Keenan Allen for what the player, he obviously offers a lot of value and a lot of consistency, but at the same time, like his big weeks, he needs like 15, 16 targets to get there. Like he's not seeing a lot of downfield targets, not as many red zone targets as a Mike Williams in that offense. So he just, if that volume comes down in any way next year, then he's going to be putting up closer to wide receiver two numbers than wide receiver one numbers. So I want to take as many shots on these breakout wide receivers as possible. And if I hit on the one that ends up being Cooper Kupp, I'm golden. Like it doesn't matter if I draft a bunch of Allen Robinsons or Calvin Ridleys, as long as I get that one guy that, you know, ultimately is the game changer.
Yes. Well, don't draft Calvin Ridley this year. I don't think he's going to be
this year. Productive. Yeah, it's easy this year.
All right. Tyreek Hill goes next to Jalvin here. We're waiting on Boston to make their pick here. And look, as you're looking through the board here, Matthew Friedman, obviously, you know, there's still plenty of wide receiver talent out there. Are you at this stage somebody who likes to go BPA, or are you somebody that likes to address and try to get one more guy that you think is at least capable of being a true wide receiver one, even though you have a tight end who performs kind of de facto like that?
I mean, at this point, I'm probably going to be pretty true to my wide receiver board. If there's a running back who falls there that I like, then maybe I will draft him. But I'm looking wide receiver for the most part. And let's just say, I think the conversation of T. Higgins and Pittman versus Keenan Allen is the wrong conversation. Tyreek Hill was still on the board. Like, in many rankings, Tyreek Hill is going to be ahead of T. Higgins and Pittman. And I'm not saying like it's wrong to take Higgins and Pittman above him, but it is more of a planting your flag on guys who could break out, could be bigger in the future, and fading someone in a new situation who has produced in the past, but might not be in the right circumstances to produce this year. Debo also on the board and passing on him. Like those are not insignificant moves right there. Like I would say Erickson is kind of, he's not giving himself enough credit for being like bold in that situation of going with Higgins and Pittman when you have these more proven producers on the board.
Well, you're drafting a team for this year, not last year. I think that's always something we like to always drive home to the audience. And it is important that track record, I know Matt's going to go ahead and make his pick here, but track record is very crucial and important. But at the same time, you're also looking at situation now. And Tyreek Hill with Patrick Mahomes, is that even close to the same player with Tua Tagovailoa? And I think that's a huge question to ask. We don't know who Michael Pittman is with Matt Ryan, so we can ask that. To me, personally, I would still go with Keenan Allen, especially in the full PPR mode, because to me, that's somebody you can really rely on. And then I would take the upside guy somewhere else. Maybe I would take Tyreek Hill. Maybe I would take A.J. Brown. Mike Williams, another upside guy, he also went to, by the way. So 303, it was A.J. Brown. Mike Williams was 304. Debo Samuel went right before you, Friedman, at 305. And then you are at the 306. Now talk to me about your selection here of D.J. Moore, because I don't know where the upside is, but certainly the floor has been locked in for the last few seasons.
Yeah, I think the upside is pretty significant with DJ Moore in that he's got the capital, he had the college production, he's got the physical profile. Now he has probably the best quarterback of his career, and he's had the NFL production, 1,200 yards from scrimmage in three consecutive seasons. He's literally the only wide receiver in the NFL to do that in the past 3 years. And he's still young. He's just 25. Like he is still ascending into the peak. And he's got that high floor that you mentioned there. So I'm very happy to take the upside shot on DJ Moore over someone like Keenan Allen, who's, I would say, best days are behind him now that guys like Tyreek and Mike Williams and Debo are off the board.
Well, clearly, you know, Keenan Allen, undervalued, maybe underappreciated. Brandon decided no more slip for him. He went at 307. Alvin Kamara goes at 308 here. So he is paired together with Najee Harris and Mike Evans. Matt, are you surprised at how far Alvin Kamara is falling in drafts, or do you think this is appropriate? And is the third round appropriate?
I think this is about the right range. I will say, you know, think of even 2 weeks ago, you wouldn't necessarily see Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, James Conner all go in the second round. Some of those guys would have been available in the third round, and maybe Kamara would have been going in the second round. But people are starting to get a little more uncertain about the possibility of suspension for Kamara. And I think that's why he's here in the third round. But, you know, if news breaks that the legal proceedings won't unfold this year, he's not going to be suspended this year, he shoots right back up to the second round.
Let's check in with our chat here. Somebody made a comment here that Andrew Erickson is just Dan Harris without the glasses and hat, which might be true, or maybe illegitimate son. We don't know this. James wants to know what the favorite draft positions are. I personally like to be up at around 5 or 6 because I can get definitely probably one of those wide receivers like Chase or Kupp or Jefferson. If I could go up to 3, then I feel really good about locking in Jefferson there because I think typically I can make that work. And then I don't mind being at the bookend. I always like the turn, you know, let the draft come to you, take the best players available there. In the middle, sometimes it can be a little tricky because you're kind of at the mercy of both of those runs. But I'll put it to you guys here. Andrew, first you, how do you feel about where you like to pick in terms of draft spot? I know we've touched on this before, but it's a good question.
No, I agree with you. I like picking in the middle rounds and 5 or 6, 105, 106, I think is really appropriate. I like the way that things kind of shake out with certain players, ADPs that kind of fall into your range. I can kind of get a lot of my primary targets without having to reach, whereas that's the disadvantage when you're picking at the turns. You kind of have to reach at some points because you know that if, you know, the ADP is like 10 spots away, but you're not picking for another 20 spots, like you have to take that guy or else you're not going to get him. So even though Michael Pittman, for example, at the top of round 3, not necessarily someone that was going to fall to me, he was going to be gone by the time I picked again.
All right, fair enough. All right, as we continue to recap here, Alvin Kamara goes at 308, Deontay Johnson 309, Jalen Waddle 310, then Ezekiel Elliott at 311. I am up next here. Looking at this board, certainly some things that I like here. I could double up on some of the running backs here, as I like to allege to do. Definitely going to take Cam Akers here with one of these picks. I think I'm going to take Travis Etienne with the other one. I understand everyone's talking about Robinson being back healthy now, but you know what? I'm going to go with the younger back who's proven pass catching ability. I'm going to go ahead back-to-back RBs here. So I've gone back-to-back wide receiver, back-to-back RB. Friedman, talk to me about the James Robinson situation now that he's been cleared. Do you think that this is significantly going to hurt Travis Etienne's value, or do you think that this is just kind of a blip on the radar for Etienne to eventually become a star in the league, which we all think from a fantasy perspective he could be?
Yeah, I'm still interested in Etienne. He's got the draft capital. He's got the receiving capability, got the connection, the, you know, hashtag shower narrative connection with his college quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. And James Robinson, you know, it's the same issue with Cam Akers. Like, yeah, he can return to the field, but there's a difference between returning and actually being, I don't know, an NFL caliber player.
Sure.
And with his athleticism sapped, I just don't know if Robinson is going to be the player that he was, similar to what we saw with Akers in the playoff run last year. So I think Etienne is still a guy who offers quite a bit of upside in round 4. And at this point, you are starting to look a little bit more for those upside plays versus the guy who gives you a high floor. But I think Etienne can kind of give you a little bit of both.
Yeah, Breece Hall was under consideration there. But again, even though the Jets did address the offensive line, did make some good moves there, I still have trouble with the quarterback play. And if you don't have good quarterback play, you don't have a lot of fantasy points. Let's just be honest. That's everything kind of trickles down there from that spot. Also, I want to remind everybody, please like the stream here because we're hanging out talking football. If you're having fun, if you're playing hooky from work, if you're out walking the dog, or you're just you know, watching on YouTube after the fact, go ahead, give us a like here. It certainly helps us on the YouTube channel, and we love your approval. We strive for it all the time. We just want to be loved, but we'll settle for being liked. So make sure you like the stream. Also, don't forget to make a comment here if you are a subscriber or if you haven't already subscribed. That way you can get in on that giveaway. We're giving away a Gabriel Davis autographed jersey from Pristine Auction today. Look at that bad boy. Boom. There it is. Number 13. Hopefully it's a good luck number, not a bad luck number, because we all know Andrew Erickson did purchase a jersey of his own of Gabriel Davis. So that track record has been not so great. Let's go back to the draft and let's see where things are with the board right now. After I took Akers and ETN, Terry McLaurin goes next, Brandon Cooks after that, then David Montgomery, Josh Allen, who is under consideration for me. I know from experience of drafting with our Fantasy Pros peeps in the Discord, they're very disciplined about the quarterback. So I thought maybe, just maybe, I could wait a little bit longer. We'll see. He was probably going to go in round four, probably wasn't going to make it back to me round five. So I played chicken, let it go. But I am also not against the idea of taking the big quarterback. Andrew, are you somebody who is pro or anti being the first person to select the quarterback, and that quarterback being Josh Allen, as a distinct advantage?
I don't think it's an advantage. I really don't. I mean, when you're playing in a 12 team league with one quarterback, you can take your last quarterback, assuming that most people only draft one quarterback, with your last pick. And you're just sucking up value when other people are taking quarterbacks in round four, round five, round six, and you're drafting startable running backs and wide receivers that you can get so much production from, where if you take the last quarterback, you have all the waiver wire quarterbacks that you can play. Like, I can draft Kirk Cousins with my last pick and you can wait as long as you want. So I've found that I like that strategy much more than, you know, paying up necessarily, especially in round four, for a quarterback, even as talented, as great as Josh Allen is. I'm going to leverage the waiver wire in standard redraft leagues.
All right. Andrew will not be able to take Cortland Sutton this time. He goes at 406. Matthew Friedman, you're up at 407. Talk to us about your selection here in the fourth round.
Yeah, I went with DK Metcalf. As I mentioned, for me, this is, you know, people talk about this range as the like running back dead zone. I think of it more as like a wide receiver power alley, where I just want to get as many upside receivers as I can in this range. And DK Metcalf really fits the build. I think he's been discounted too much in drafts because of his circumstances, but the circumstances could change. At some point, he could get a quarterback upgrade there. And even if he doesn't, he's still DK Metcalf. Like, he could still finish as a top 12 wide receiver. And getting him in the fourth round, I'm very happy to take the risk on him at this place.
So any fear or concern having two wide receivers who have suspect quarterback play coming into the year? Because DJ Moore, we can all agree, has suspect quarterback play. I know he has played through that in the past, but it certainly capped him. DK Metcalf's always had Russell Wilson. He's got Drew Lock now. We all know what that did to the Denver Bronco wide receiver core last year. Any concerns with that factoring into your selections?
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern, but I would say the reason they are available in round three and round four is because of those concerns.
Right.
And so I will just be happy to take them at a discount to their upside, knowing that there is downside baked into their ADP here.
That was very good. You practiced that answer. It was very like Bull Durham, make sure you know your cliches. And like, I'm just happy to get here in the fourth round, and God willing, we'll all score lots of fantasy points together. Miracle Workers takes Breece Hall next at 408, followed by Rashad Penny at 409. In case you missed it, Chris Carson decided to call it a career, a good one, but a short one for Chris Carson, as is the running back position in the NFL. So Penny stock perhaps rising. We could talk more about that in a second. Kyle Pitts goes at 410. Josh Jacobs at 411. Pitts was somebody I was strongly considering down at the turn where I was, especially in the full PPR format. But we also have Josh Jacobs going at 411, and then Andrew Erickson making his two picks. So talk us through what your plan is here, Andrew, with your two spots here.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was looking at Pitts, but as he was falling, I thought maybe he would fall to me at 412, where I'm very much more open to taking a guy like Kyle Pitts, who I think could be a true difference maker at tight end, despite the Atlanta Falcons' anemic offense, or what we project it to be. But ultimately, he fell at 410. So I'm just trying to look at more of these receivers. And I just like a lot of the receivers in this range, and I want to continue to compile as many as I can. So I'm going to go with another breakout guy. So Marquise Brown, I think, is going to have a strong start to the year without DeAndre Hopkins suspended for the first 6 weeks. So I feel really strong about Marquise Brown in my lineup, especially as like a flex or wide receiver three. And then Rashad Bateman, another guy that I think is going to take a massive step here in year two with Lamar Jackson, with Marquise Brown now, you know, an Arizona Cardinal.
I like what you're doing here, because it's a little obnoxious. You've taken Jonathan Taylor and then four straight wide receivers. I'm a fan, especially in the PPR. I mean, this is what you do here. You go ahead and you swing for the fences with the wide receivers, and you hope that Taylor stays healthy. In terms of what you're looking for running back later on, because you are going to have to fill those spots. I mean, there's that RB2 spot here that we're looking for. We do have the flex spot as well, and you need some depth of the buys. So you're pretty confident then there's going to be guys like Stevenson, I know we all like, and some other RBs like that that you think are going to be available as we go on that you're going to target, correct?
Yeah. I mean, not to give away my draft plans, but.
Well, you know, you are on a podcast every day where you're talking about draft plans.
Well, I've got guys.
It's away. It's out there.
I've got guys queued up that I'm looking at, you know, Chase Edmonds. You know, this is PPR. It's like, mm-hmm. he's a starting running back for the Miami Dolphins. I know that Friedman hates Chase Edmonds, but I mean, if I can get him as my RB2, I need someone to fill in. As alongside Jonathan Taylor, I can use him, Kareem Hunt, Devin Singletary,
right?
You know, startable guys in my RB2 slot. You know, I'm not trying to necessarily dominate from my RB2 slot. I'm trying to dominate with Taylor and my wide receivers. So that's right. My plan.
Lamar Jackson goes next off the board here. He is at 502. So interesting that Josh Allen and then Lamar Jackson, second quarterback off there, which I get that. I get where they're coming from. J.K. Dobbins goes next. So a bunch of guys have gone out of my queue here. So I got to start adding some more players. Boston go ahead and tick Javonte Williams and J.K. Dobbins. They've got Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Kyle Pitts. I like what Boston's doing. They must have taken offense to the fact I got their name wrong earlier in the program. We're getting closer and closer to Matthew Friedman's next pick. We'll give him some time to think about that. Also want to remind you to like the stream here as we are hanging out on our YouTube channel. Subscribe. And also another question here from Alex, who wants to know, Andrew, does the Chris Carson retirement affect anything in your mind with Penny and Walker? I mean, I feel like for most of us here, Andrew, we weren't anticipating Carson really entering in, but now that he is definitely not, does it change your opinion about either of those two players?
It really doesn't. I mean, I know that when we've talked about Carson in the past, I was writing him off like 3 months ago. Like, mm-hmm. I just, the neck thing was very scary. And as a guy that's already been super banged up, I really just never really envisioned him coming back. And I think it's ultimately in his best decision in his personal life for long-term health to, you know, retire from the game of football. And I'm wishing him a full recovery, but it's going to be a two-man backfield between Penny and Ken Walker, and Penny's going to be the guy until he gets hurt, until the wheels fall off. So we don't know who's going to be used on passing downs. That's also a major question for a team that's going to be playing from a lot, I would say. So yeah, just don't overinvest in Seattle running backs. And remember, you don't have to draft anyone from Seattle if you don't want to.
Yes, Matthew Friedman didn't have to. He did. He drafted DK Metcalf. After J.K. Dobbins went, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Allen Robinson go with the 504 and 505 picks, which brings us back to you, Friedman, with 506. I anticipate you not taking a Seattle Seahawk, though, here.
Yeah, I took Antonio Gibson, which I hate myself for doing.
Yeah.
But in the fifth round, at this point, I think it's just too far. I think there's value in a guy who is still relatively young, played through injuries last year, has scored double-digit touchdowns in both of his NFL seasons, is big, is fast, does have receiving capability, even though his coaching staff hasn't used him in that way. I think there's just too much talent and too much production that we've seen to this point not to take him in the fifth round.
How much do you put into price enforcing in drafts, Friedman? Because that's something that I do sometimes just on principle, because the draft is just the beginning. Like, just because I look at the draft as acquiring assets more than anything. It's not necessarily my team or my team the entire season for that matter. I'm looking at acquiring assets. So from that point of view, are you somebody that will price enforce if a player drops too far because of the talent, and then you'll deal with the roster makeup as the season develops?
Yeah, I don't think of it necessarily as price enforcing. I tend to think of price enforcing maybe when you're doing your fab or something like that. But mm-hmm. I just think of it as drafting players at a discount to where they should be going.
Fair, you know, enough.
Like Fair that's enough. That's just the basic way I think of it. And if you do that, I think you tend to have better teams.
All right. So Gibson goes on to Friedman Seems as a second running back who, look, yeah, there is a pathway for him to, prove everybody wrong. I think all the analysts who have all these concerns, there's absolutely a scenario you could write where Gibson ends up becoming an RB1 this year and has a much better season than people realize and does not lose as much volume as everybody thinks to the other backs in the backfield. Darren Waller goes next, which makes me very upset because I was hoping he would slip down to me. He did not. Good job there on Brandon. Z Clement took Jerry Judy. Then Amari Cooper went to Josh Schmitz here. The Fantasy Yeti is up at the 510. So I've got some hard decisions to make here pretty soon. Let's take a look here at some of the other things going on in the draft. Just trying to look from the standpoint of how many guys are off the board here. We're still about four deep into the tight end pool. We are still only two quarterbacks in. So I am looking there, giving you the insights here, which I always love. One team needs a starting quarterback before my pick here. And speaking of which, There you go. Darnell Mooney goes, followed by Justin Herbert at 5'11". So somebody that was contemplating, who I still see an advantage of some of these big-time quarterbacks, well, guess what? That last one to me is gone, so now I have to pivot and figure out where I want to go next. And I'm just looking for fantasy points right now and fantasy upside. So last year I was in a lot on Kyler Murray, and I've been listening and reading too much Matthew Friedman, I feel like. So now all of a sudden I'm starting to buy back into the Kyler Murray. Friedman, is this the pick here? Should I go ahead and make that selection with Kyler Murray? Sell me on that, because I know you've been talking a lot about him lately.
No, you shouldn't take Kyler Murray. You should take Patrick Mahomes if you want a quarterback, but I don't know why you would be looking at a quarterback in this range. So I'm dunking on all of your assumptions.
You're dunking on all of my assumptions. All right. Well, that's okay. I took AJ Dillon because everybody knows I'm going to take AJ Dillon anyway. all right. Looking at the rest of the board here, you still have Murray on the board. You still have Hurts. You still have plenty of capable quarterbacks, and even we can go and fight over Trey Lance eventually, which I'm sure some of us are going to do here in this draft as things go by. I'm going to go ahead and probably take another wide receiver here. So I'm going to struggle because I either take the two guys on Buffalo and take Gabriel Davis here, who, by the way, we're giving away that jersey, or I take Elijah Moore, who I love, but I hate the quarterback situation. What to do? What to do? I'm going to go ahead and just hope that it's a good day in Buffalo every day for all my Buffalo wide receivers, and I'll worry about buys later. I'm going to go ahead and take talent, so give me AJ Dillon, give me Gabriel Davis, and if you want to win that Gabriel Davis jersey, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, and make sure you make a comment here about, I don't know, anything you want. Good picks, bad picks, who's your favorite team, why it's mine. That's what we want you to do here. And of course, that's pristineauction.com, who's giving away that jersey for one of our loyal watchers in here and subscribers on our YouTube channel. Elijah Moore goes right after because Justin was waiting. That pick went right up to the podium. He did not have any hesitation. The Fantasy Yeti is up next here. Continuing on, still some talent left on this board. Patrick Mahomes sliding very far here. Look, let's turn the tables here for a super flex conversation real quick. Andrew Erickson, now that he has just Travis Kelce and a bunch of wide receivers who are relatively new to this team, do you think Patrick Mahomes is losing too much love? Is he not getting enough respect that he deserves?
Well, it depends on where, you know, the consensus. I know that he's like QB3, I think, in ADP. I think like Herbert has overtaken him. I think that that's fair. I have him. I mean, I have one massive QB1 tier with six guys in it. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, Murray, Herbert, Hurts, Murray. I think I said Murray twice, but I have
what about Murray? Tier. Is Murray in that tier?
Yeah, he's in that tier, but I have a tier of six quarterbacks, okay. The top six guys. And I just want whoever can get the latest. Like, it doesn't really matter to me necessarily. Usually it's Hurts. Like, that's usually the guy I can get latest. So I think all of them have QB1 overall upside. I think they've all shown that they can be QB1 overall. And in a Superflex league, I want one of those guys on my roster. Ideally, whoever, or Lamar Jackson would be the other guy. So I think Mahomes is still in that tier. Like, he's not my number one because mm-hmm. of losing Tyreek Hill. But I think that I'm not going to just blindly fade Mahomes because he lost, you know, a dynamic weapon. Like, he's a quarterback that, you know, rises those around him. Like, he
right.
brings the
like
best
Drew
out of
Brees and those yeah. kind of guys. Right.
So exactly. I don't think that he's totally sunk. He can still be QB1 overall. It's just a bit harder. And I think that you should get him at a discount without Hill.
George Kittle goes at the 603 after Elijah Moore, followed by Patrick Mahomes at 604, as we were talking about him. So subliminal messages everywhere. Juju Smith-Schuster at 605, one of the theoretical weapons, potentially. Freeman's got another pick coming up soon. Hodo Prime out there making fun of my team, which is fun. How is Cam Akers going in round three? The guy's running on one leg. Well, you know, he's still got that other leg, and he still plays for a pretty good offense. So that's my answer to that. Trey Baxter also giving Matthew Friedman some love. Either Friedman knows something we don't, or his team isn't very good. Friedman, I don't want to throw you off kilter here before your next pick, but any response to that comment?
If that's your definition of love, I don't want to see what your definition of hate is. But I mean, I think I'm going to take another player here that is going to draw some consternation here. Michael Thomas. I mean, I'm just going to seek risk wherever I can in this range with upside wide receivers. And yeah, it means that my team might be absolutely horrible, but I think it gives me a lot of upside. And I'm not like trying to finish third in a league, you know, like I'm going to take guys who could be potential league winners. So I think that's what I'm doing here.
That's a provocative statement too. And I understand that mindset of, oh, I'm not trying to finish, you know, third or whatever it is, but should your goal be trying to win or nothing at all? Or should it be, this is a good team that's going to have a good core and make the playoffs and I'll make the moves as the season goes on. Like, should we care more about building core roster strength as opposed to swinging for upside all the time?
I don't even want to answer that question. Yes. You swing for the fences.
You
from
don't
the
even
101.
Answer that question.
Wow. No. So I think you have a scaled approach. I would say I get the idea of limiting your risk in the early rounds. And then as you get into the later rounds, more and more you're going for risk and for upside. I still think, though, that upside, people might actually underappreciate how important upside is in rounds 1-3.
So you're saying upside is undervalued. Can we get that on a shirt? I'd love to get that on a shirt somewhere.
Yeah, I think it is actually undervalued in the early rounds where people are bypassing players who might have more upside. I would say league winning upside for someone who maybe feels a little bit safer.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. And it's interesting because it goes back to the conversation earlier about Erickson's pick, right? Because he took Michael Pittman over, you know, Deebo Samuel, who was a breakout guy last year, over, you know, AJ Brown, who certainly from a wide receiver rank perspective is ahead of Pittman on most people's boards. So Michael Thomas goes to Matthew Friedman. Kyler Murray goes next, then Adam Thielen. And here's the quarterback run here. We have three in one round. Jalen Hurts goes next at 6'10". Miles Sanders at 6'11". Big pot energy. Andrew Erickson, you are up next on the clock.
Yes, I am, man. I was looking hard at Hurts. You know, that was kind of like where my QB tier cutoff is, because I'm not necessarily obsessed with some of the skill positions here on the board. So I was definitely considering Hurts there at the 6'12", but I'm going to have to pivot. So I'm going to go to tight end here with Dalton Schultz. I just think that he's in a really good offense, and I think that's, I mean, he's a tight end, man, and that sometimes is enough. Like, I get that he's not the most athletic guy, and people are going to knock him for that, but who else in that offense is going to command, you know, a large target share besides CeeDee Lamb, who still to this, you know, he still has not lived up to the expectations of what we all kind of hoping he's going to be. Like, we're still hoping Lamb takes that next step, whereas Dalton Schultz has been a top five producer at tight end the last two seasons, not just last year, like the year before that, too. So he was still producing for two straight years. I love the Dallas offense, and draft guys in good offenses. So I'm going to go with Schultz there. And then in the seventh round, again, I could reach here on like a running back because I need to fill a team need. But I think that's just drafting suboptimally. You know, I'm just picking worse players because I need to draft a running back. So I'm going to draft a receiver that I think has breakout potential, but Drake London off the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm.
Drake London over there. Now, what is your expectation for Drake London? Now, I think he's certainly more exciting in this format we're drafting today as opposed to a standard league, because I don't know how many touchdowns are going to be in store for this offense in Atlanta. But what's your expectations for him in the full PPR?
I mean, I think that he's someone that you could see having a small role to start the year as a wide receiver three playing matchups. You look at some of the schedule, like, are teams going to try to stop Drake London? Or teams going to try to stop Kyle Pitts? Like, what's the game plan going to be? And you just look at Drake London, he just turned 21 years old. Like, this guy is so young and has so much potential in an offense where he's the number one wide receiver. I know Kyle Pitts is the number one pass catcher, but Drake London's still the number one wide receiver. You know, Rashad Bateman, another guy I drafted, number one wide receiver on his roster. Like, I like attaching myself to number one guys and hoping that, hey, they're the one that kind of breaks out and takes that next step. So I think that he's someone that, maybe early on, he's not putting up monster numbers. Like, a lot of rookies just don't necessarily do that. But down the stretch, he could have a really big role for the Falcons.
All right. After Drake London goes, Devonta Smith goes next at the 7:02. Boston's up next, followed by Buenos Aires, Miracle Workers, and Friedman. So thank you, by the way, for dignifying my earlier question. I know it was really hard for you, Matt, that you didn't want to even answer it, but I just want to say thanks. It means a lot to me that you still answer the question anyway. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes next. So in this game of upside you're playing, what's the next pitch to swing for the fences in your opinion that you're hoping makes it back to you?
I would have loved to get Drake London, at the next pick. So really do like going for him in the seventh round. A ton of upside for all of the reasons that Erickson laid out there. So with him off the board, I do think that there's a little bit of a drop off in wide receiver quality. So I honestly, I'm not sure if I'm going to go with upside at wide receiver or if I'm going to go with someone who I think is falling far too down the board, too far down the board. I don't want to, I don't even want to say right now who this person is.
He shall not be named.
For fear. And the thing is, it's not as if I'm really even all that high on this player, which is how I ended up getting Antonio Gibson. Which I'm probably just going to end up hating my draft by the time I'm done with it with players. I'm like, oh, there's value here. But I think there's a running back who is falling way too far down the board, who just should not be here at this point. And if I have the chance to draft him, okay. So Kareem Hunt just went off the board. Elijah Mitchell, I think, to get someone who had the production he had last year to be able to get him in the seventh round, I think is just a slam dunk. And if I wouldn't have drafted him, I'm just going to hit the button here. If I wouldn't have drafted him, it probably, if I had gone running back, it would have been Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like a horrible decision for miracle worker in front of me to take Kareem Hunt instead of Elijah Mitchell. Cause I think they were kind of both there. Kareem Hunt, I think, has a lot of upside in the event of obviously a Nick Chubb injury, but then also there's a chance that Kareem Hunt could just be traded like right. That is within the realm of possibility. And at this range, round seven, I don't think even if he doesn't pay off his ADP, I don't think he fails by much and he could absolutely smash his ADP.
Christian Kirk went at 704, then Kareem Hunt at 75, and then Elijah Mitchell at 706. Let's talk about Mr. Mitchell for a moment, if we may, because there is that adage and that fear that it's just a one-off year and he did have some injuries. He doesn't catch a lot of balls. He did miss a lot of time as well. Let's not forget that he did miss a few games, quite a few. So with Mitchell, despite all the stuff that you just laid out there, you know, and I understand he's your third running back and you could certainly do a lot worse than that. How much fear is there potentially in this Shanahan churn and burn and we're on to the next running back kind of system?
I mean, there's fear, but the fear is always predicated on price. Mm-hmm. And so I like Tyrion Davis price at his ADP. I would, you know, given ADP, I would rather draft TDP, but Elijah Mitchell fell down the board. Like I wouldn't draft Mitchell in the fifth round. Like I think that would be ridiculous. But in the seventh round, the downside for him is mitigated at his ADP. And at this point, I think he's basically all upside.
I loved working with you because you use big words like predicated and consternation you used earlier. It's like having the word of the day toilet paper. It's just so much fun to be around you. I feel smarter having just hung out here in the draft room with me. It's just great. DeAndre Hopkins goes next. Andrew Erickson, is that too soon for DeAndre Hopkins? We're at 707. Everyone's trying to ask the question, when is the right time to take the shot on DeAndre Hopkins? Is this the right time?
No, I mean, I really don't want to take the shot on DeAndre Hopkins at all. Like, not only, I don't think you're going to get, you know, the pristine wide receiver one, top five guy from DeAndre Hopkins because he wasn't that guy last year. So, you know, why are we drafting him assuming that, oh, he'll just plop back into the offense and just be, you know, target magnet when that wasn't the case last year? Like, his numbers were down significantly. And the roster construction thing, he's going to sit on your bench for 6 weeks and do nothing. And meanwhile, your league mates are making key waiver wire decisions, like adding and dropping guys while you're looking at Hopkins on your roster, hoping and praying that he comes back and is what? Like maybe a top 15 guy? Like what if Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown are gelling together? Like he's his new favorite target. Oh, the Cardinals are undefeated without DeAndre Hopkins. You know, there's a lot of question marks. And I just think that in the seventh round, it's too much. There are other players like there are starters that you can still get. There are players with, I think, more upside than DeAndre Hopkins, who's an older wide receiver at this point. So, yeah, you know, Hopkins is one of the guys that's kind of like on my do not draft list and definitely not going to draft him here in the seventh round.
All right. Definitely not going there. For me, I am up next with my two picks. So just contemplating what I'm going to do. There's a few wide receivers I like. Hunter Renfrow is the guy I wanted. He did not make it to me, so good job there by the drafters here in this room with us. Looking at the quarterback still available, Burrow, Prescott, Tom Brady still all out there. I still have Joe Burrow pretty high up on my board. I think a lot about this Cincinnati Bengals offense. I think it's one of the best in the league. There's been a word. The word is ecosystem. It's been very used here on the program. I'm going to go ahead and take the value pick. I got a thumbs up for the draft wizard. And that's really all I need. That keeps me going here. And speaking of thumbs up, give us a like here. If you are watching this on our YouTube channel, we appreciate you being with us and spending time and watching this mock draft. We appreciate your input too. After DeAndre Hopkins went at 7-7, Hunter Renfrow went to Z Clement at 7-08. You got me, Clement. Good on you. Josh then took Chase Edmonds, followed by Tyler Lockett at 7-10. Tony Pollard at 7-11, who was also an intriguing pick. So the queue got emptied there for me with a few guys. So I went ahead and took TJ Hockenson with the 7-12 pick. That's kind of the last guy at tight end where I feel like I think he's just a hair above some of the other guys potentially on there. I don't love it, believe me, but I know the tight end wasteland that awaits me if I don't do it now. So I took Hockenson. I took Joe Burrow. So I took my quarterback, my tight end. I have my starting team basically filled out here. Brandon Ayuk, who I was also contemplating, went 8-02. Erickson, let's talk about Brandon Ayuk for a second, because, you know, we just talked about Eli Mitchell. Let's dive in a little deeper here. Ayuk was a player that a lot of us were high on, had a great finish to the season 2 years ago. Then last year was basically in witness protection for the first 8 weeks of the season. So started to come out of the shell in the second part of the year, but still Debo was spectacular. What are your expectations for Ayuk in 2022?
Well, I mean, we can't forget that he had a really strong finish again. You know, it seems like he can't.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, he can't put together the first half of the year, but the second half of the year, he looks fantastic. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, Debo kind of switching over to that running back role. But was that a result of Ayuk coming back and playing a bigger role as a wide receiver? I'm willing to chase the Ayuk value because he's way cheaper than Debo Samuel is. He's way cheaper than George Kittle is. And you have a brand new quarterback under center. Like, that's like something that's going to change how things shake out, in my opinion. Like, is Debo Samuel going to command a 30% target share again? Like, that's really hard to do year over year. And he's a brand new quarterback, especially a quarterback that is less likely to dump the ball off to a guy near the line of scrimmage as opposed to taking off and running. Also, you know, look at Trey Lance. Like, he's got a rocket arm. Like, that profiles more into Ayuk's strengths as a vertical wide receiver than Debo Samuel. Does it mean Debo's cooked? No. But it means that Ayuk's value as a talented player is something that I want to chase on my bench and have him ready to go. Right. Because if Kittle goes down, a yak guy who's always dealt with injuries, like, we know the 49ers, the way they play, so much embracing contact. Like, that's
why everything's over the middle. It's quick slant here, quick slant left, quick slant right. That's always been this offense.
So Ayuk being, we can get him so much later. You don't have to start him right away. He's a bench wide receiver, but you know, the minute that Debo and or slash George Kittle, if anything happens to those guys, like, you're feeling great about putting a talented player like Ayuk into your lineup. So in the eighth round, taking a guy who's proven that he can deliver when called upon and when the coaches trust him, I think is a slam dunk.
All right. Other slam dunks here. Dak Prescott goes at 8-03. Devin Singletary at 8-04. Interesting value there. I still think Singletary has a lot to offer in 2022, even though Cook is around and is an intriguing piece, especially in this format too. In the PPR leagues, I'm very intrigued by James Cook later in drafts. We'll see if Friedman selects him. He's been one of his favorites, I know. Damian Harris finally gets selected too. Huge value pick by the Draft Wizards terms at the 8:05. Alan Lazard, another guy I was contemplating down where I was, gets selected at 8:06. So Matthew Friedman, you are up next with the 8:07 selection. And it always helps Matthew Friedman, just as a professional note, to unmute yourself when you want to talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does it really help, though? Am I actually saying anything of value?
It can't be worse.
I really wanted Alan Lazard at 8:06, mm-hmm. But got sniped there. Kadarius Toney is the guy I'm going with. And I will say I am reaching. I'm imagining a little bit for Toney here, but I kind of don't care because I'm at this point just now focused on my guys, like my quote unquote guys. And he has so much upside based on what he showed last year, the new offensive system that he's in, and what he did in college and his athleticism. Like, I'm fine taking the shot on him here. Like, would I rather have Kadarius Toney, who probably won't do as well as Robert Woods, who just went off the board right after that by miracle workers? Like, I would rather have Toney's upside.
Yeah, that's fair. I like the Alan Lazard floor. Once again, a player I was very much contemplating there over Hockenson there. If I had to do it again, I still might take Lazard. It certainly one I keep going back and forth on. And this crew has been very good here that we're drafting with today, which is always great to see. I love the challenge of drafting against all of our brilliant listeners and readers of Fantasy Pros, because when we do these mock drafts in the stages, we do these mock drafts on our Discord channel, which is free to join, by the way, at fantasypros.com/chat. That is really the test. These are people who are hungry. They're really good. They really know what they're doing. And it challenges even us, the analysts, at times. So Kadarius Toney goes to Friedman, Robert Woods directly after 808, then Zach Ertz at the 809, followed by Russell Gage, another player in my queue, 810, all going here. Some really good value in the seventh and eighth round at wide receiver between Renfrow, Lazard, Ayuk, Toney, and Russell Gage. Then we have Jalvin up next, followed by Big Pod Energy. So are you going to stay with the theme here and continue to just hammer away at wide receivers, or is this finally the Ramondre Stevenson pick that I feel like is right?
It's coming. But first, before I do that, I actually am going to take someone that I know that Freeman likes a lot, and I think that probably is in his queue because he needs a quarterback, but he's not going to be there. So I'm going to take Trey Lance here at the 8-12. Who, you know, the reports are Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch talked to Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's like, hey, we're moving on with Trey. We're finally done with this Jimmy Garoppolo shtick. He's gone.
Friedman seems completely unfazed by that selection, by the way. So either he's like the greatest poker player ever, or he was just ignoring you.
Either way, to each
their
own. Either
way, it's possible. Right?
But I'm going to go with
like Trey Lance. Said that you were so hyped, and Friedman just gave you like the Ivan Drago. He was like straight at you. He's like, I must break you. I got nothing. Like no reaction whatsoever.
It doesn't matter. I would like to take Trey Lance, but I want to take Trey Lance at a discount. And if someone wants to take Lance higher than his ADP, then that's fine. I'll take someone else. That means I'll probably take Justin Fields later at the very end of the draft. You know, it doesn't really matter all that much to me. I will say the Trey Lance thing, like he offers so much value. I understand wanting to take him. I want him in basically every draft I'm in. The thing is, Jimmy Garoppolo is still going to be on that team. Like, let's be real. Shanahan basically said, we don't want to cut him. And he kind of acknowledged no one's looking to trade for him right now. So Garoppolo is going to be on that team. And well, there are some tough stretches. There are some tough stretches in the season for the 49ers. And Jimmy Garoppolo has actually won games for that team. Like Trey Lance, if he looks anything this year like he did last year, that might be fine for fantasy, but that's not going to be fine for the 49ers fans. Garoppolo has a real non-zero chance of starting some games this year.
Some people might argue that the 49ers won a lot of games despite Jimmy Garoppolo. Just throwing that out there as well. That is certainly a side of the coin we could talk about. I want to actually pick up something that you said, Freeman, that I think is one of my hallmarks that I always love, which is you have Trey Lance, right? Just using this as an example. I'd love to get him. I'd love to get him at the discount. If I don't, what's my pivot move? And you laid out the perfect one there, which is, okay, well, I'll take like a boring stand in the pocket quarterback, and then I'll take Justin Fields later and just take him for free and see what happens if I get the upside there. Andrew, how important is that backup plan or that plan B and C? And do people do enough of that in your opinion? Should they do more?
I think they should do more. I think that, you know, it's something that I think about. Is there a discounted version of X player? Like, can I find someone, you know, when you kind of just look at the archetype of a certain player, okay, projects to lead his team in targets. Is there another player I can get that's cheaper? You know, one of them kind of comes to mind is looking at a guy like Brandon Cooks or like a Deontay Johnson, where you're not like thrilled about the quarterback play necessarily, but you know those guys are going to lead the team in targets, but they also cost like round four picks. Okay, is there someone later? Okay, Darnell Mooney, like he's on the Bears and he goes in round six. Okay, like there's an arbitrage play there as a discount version of someone else where you're taking on less risk, but you're still getting something that's probably not that different when it comes down to their final production. So I think it is a good exercise to go through to really kind of find different value pockets with certain players.
All right. As we continue to go through the draft here, we have Ramondre Stevenson going to Big Pod Energy, Andrew Erickson, followed by Garrett Wilson, Tyler Boyd at 902 and 3, Melvin Gordon at 904. Nice value there. 905, Dallas Goedert. 906, Matthew Friedman. Another provocative move here. Some words that Tyler Algier might be the starting running back. We're hearing this. Is that good news or bad news for the guy you just selected?
Yeah, I selected Cordarrelle Patterson, who I think is still an upside play. And give me all the hype on a fifth rounder from BYU, right? Or was it Utah? It doesn't matter.
It was BYU.
It doesn't matter. Those schools are basically the same. Like a fifth round running back who is slow. Yes, give me all of the hype about him being better than Cordarrelle Patterson. Patterson probably won't have the same workload he had last year, but he has very little mileage. For a guy who's like 31, he's had an incredibly light workload to this point in his career. So he's not your typical 31-year-old. He's still got athleticism. I mean, he was highly efficient last year. And I know there's Kyle Pitts. I know there's Drake London. But after those two guys, they still need another weapon. And I think that's Cordarrelle Patterson as a runner and as a receiver.
All right, fair enough there. So after Patterson goes Ken Walker, James Cook, Chris Olave, straight out of my queue and onto Josh's team. Fantasy Yeti selects Chase Claypool, then Michael Gallup goes at 9-11, which brings me to the 9-12 selection here. And now I'm really regretting not taking Lazard where I had him and go ahead and taking Hockenson instead. Now I am upset officially, not that anyone cares. I'm going to go ahead and take Jakobi Meyers because this is PPR, so the one touchdown he scores a year will hurt me a little less. Still hurt me. And then I'm going to go for some upside here with Sky Moore because I believe in the player. I believe in the opportunity. Yes, I got the reach alert. So I expected that, anticipated it. I accept the reach alert. Sometimes you got to go for your guys.
Breaking news.
Big breaking news also we just have too. So I'm going to put the pause button on the draft. Julio Jones is officially back in the NFL and he's officially with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Andrew Erickson, your first take, hot take on this. Does it matter? Should we care? Does this kill all of Derek Brown's Russell Gage shares?
Yeah, I think that's the first thing I thought of is Russell Gage and the fact that his ADP had been climbing, you know, to astronomical numbers at this point, and it's not going to keep climbing anymore. It's going to go down. I think you're going to see a lot of these players actually end up going down in terms of their ADP because Julio Jones is a big name. And if you look at him last year, you know, his efficiency numbers in games where he was healthy weren't really that bad. It wasn't prime Julio Jones, but he's still a big name. It's going to cause people to fade those sub players like a Russell Gage. And also, now, what does this mean for Chris Godwin, too? You know, last thing the Bucs said, like, oh, we're hopeful Chris Godwin's ready for week one, even though everything about the timeline really never made any sense about Chris Godwin being ready for week one, more like in October, like maybe he'll be ready to go. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to make Russell Gage and guys like Mike Evans probably dip a little bit in ADP. Mike Evans might be more like a guy back end of round two as opposed to top of round two. And Russell Gage, yeah, I think his ADP is definitely going to fall.
Friedman, Julio is a Hall of Famer. He's an all-time great. I love Julio Jones, the player, the fantasy player, the real NFL player. I think what Andrew's alluding to about Chris Godwin might be more to the point. If you have Chris Godwin shares, this would make it a little shaky for me about how healthy he might be. But I don't know, man. I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of Julio Jones last year, which doesn't give me a whole lot of hope for this season. What are your expectations in 2022 for Julio?
Laser show. I mean, he's going to crush if he stays healthy. That's the big if he stays healthy. But I mean, putting him with Mike Evans, even if Godwin isn't healthy for the start of the season. And I think we should assume he won't be healthy for the start of the season, but we should have had that assumption anyway, based on the injury that he had. But even if Godwin isn't out there, Gage in the slot, totally fine as a player. Like that's a really good trio. And when you have Godwin coming back, it just means that you have Julio Jones in a little more of a rotation where he doesn't have to be there the entire time. They can save his legs for the playoffs. I think it's a great real life signing, but I think this is also a terrific fantasy signing for Tom Brady. Gives him another weapon out there. Obviously hurts Evans, hurts Godwin, really hurts Gage, which I mean, I think this is sort of a sign of like, hey, maybe we shouldn't have been as high on Russell Gage anyway, if most of the enthusiasm for him was based on opportunity. But I think Jones is... I think he's going to crush. Like, I think he's going to be a wide receiver too.
Wow. That's huge considering it looked like the last 2 years he was a player that really struggled mightily to stay on the football field. And look, he's a player who's had incredible runs, incredible productivity, just massive seasons, 1500 yards, 1600 yards, unbelievable moments in his career. So you think at this age, you think the rotation actually helps him stay healthy a little bit. And you think this is a guy that, I know it's tough to answer this question, but I'll put it to you anyway. In your rankings, where would you have him? Like 25 to 30? Would you have him in 30 to 36? Like what range would he be in?
Yeah, I would probably have him just shooting from the hip. I will probably have him as a high-end wide receiver 3, which, you know, might feel aggressive, but I mean, he's on the board right now. I'm just drafting him, you know, like this, this felt like a no-brainer really, move right there.
Wow. That's look at you. Opportunistic. Matthew, opportunistic Friedman taking Julio Jones here with the 1007. So how, I guess now the question is too, you know, let's have fun. Let's go back another couple rounds. Let's go back to the 8th round where you took Tony. Lazard's off the board. Tony or Julio Jones, who do you take?
Julio.
Okay.
I mean, look, right. He's not AJ Green, okay, where it's like AJ Green is out there on the field, but he's horribly inefficient. When Julio is on the field, he is actually still a productive, efficient wide receiver, like on a per route basis, a per target basis. The past 2 years, when he's been healthy, he has still looked like Julio Jones. So you're basically taking a bet on health at this point. And I will just say, like, even though he's older, which means he has an slightly increased possibility of suffering an injury, injuries are still, by and large, pretty random. So I'm going to take the guy who's a future Hall of Famer, who, when healthy for the past 2 seasons, has shown very minimal signs of decline.
All right, I'm going to recap this entire round here. Before we do, I want to remind everybody, we've got a lot of fun things going on here, Fantasy Pros, all over the place. We've also got not just the YouTube channel going, we've also got the TikTok going. Some great content, very entertaining stuff over there, also informative. So you can follow us over on TikTok. You can follow us on Instagram, of course, as well, and always on Twitter. But the TikTok is that new one where we're having a lot of content, a lot of interactive stuff too. Super fun over there on the TikTok channel. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Pros TikTok channel. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this channel if you haven't already over on YouTube at Fantasy Pros, because we are giving away a Gabriel Davis autographed jersey. Look at it in all of its glory. Beautiful number 13 autographed, signed by actual Gabriel Davis, not Andrew Erickson, as some people might be alluding to. Nope, this is signed by Gabriel Davis himself. Because it's pristineauction.com and it comes with that certificate of authenticity. All you got to do to win it is make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, click that little bell till it goes ding, and comment here in the comments. That's what we do here. And don't forget to like the video as well. Let's recap this last round after the breaking Julio Jones news. So I took Sky Moore. Alexander Mattison went next at 10:02, followed by Michael Carter at 10:03. Marquez Valdes-Scantling at 10:04. Ronald Jones at 10:05. A wonderful round of Chiefs that I started with Sky Moore. Then after Ronald Jones, James Robinson at 10:06, Matthew Friedman, Mr. Opportunistic, took Julio Jones at 10:07. He is very happy. This might have saved his draft. It's going to kill him, though, in the draft wizard grade because no one's adjusted for it yet. So I think he's at peace with that, knowing Friedman. Darrell Henderson at 10:08, followed by Tim Patrick at 10:09, Nyheim Hines at 10:10, Jarvis Landry at 10:11, Andrew Erickson, who'd you take?
Went with Rashad White, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the 10:12. And then the 11:01, I went with Isaiah Spiller, running back for the Los Angeles Chargers, double dipping in the rookie running backs because I need running backs on my roster. I only got two, so I need to start loading up at the position.
Well, you certainly added some more. 3 straight running back picks for Erickson there, Stevenson, Rashad White, and Isaiah Spiller. Jameson Williams, one of my favorite late targets, goes to Jalvin at 11:02. Boston's up next at 11:03. Certainly something that's going to move the needle here. Julio Jones, I want to ask you the same question here, Erickson. Where would you have him ranked in terms of, again, first take in your head before you really start breaking it down?
I think that probably in the wide receiver 30 to 36 range. I guess I'm just like trying to figure out in my mind, you know, him versus a guy like Russell Gage, who when you're looking about, you know, the snaps played on the field, you know, Julio, like how often is Julio going to be on the field? Like that's his thing. Rotating him in has always been the most effective way of keeping him healthy. Is Russell Gage going to play more than Julio Jones will? Does that even matter? You know, if Julio Jones has this connection, because the thing with Brady that I just can't forget is if he like comes out and is like, Julio is my guy, like Antonio Brown was his guy, then Russell Gage is dust at this point. Like it doesn't matter what he does, because he decided that he was going to build this relationship with Antonio Brown. In the first game we saw him play with the Patriots, Brown had like 12 targets in that game.
Oh, and yeah.
And if he builds that type of connection with Julio Jones, then, I mean, we saw what he could do with AB, and AB was an older wide receiver too.
He was, but AB was still, I think, very much physically, I don't want to say mentally in his right state, but physically.
I mean, he still had that foot thing. He got hurt last year.
He did, but remember the foot thing that he had when he was dealing with the Raiders at the time, that seemed like an excuse to kind of get him out of there. Let's be honest. I think that was more like, yeah, I'm not stepping on the field for you guys. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, now I can play in 4 weeks. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to go play with Tom Brady now. I feel like, you know, Antonio Brown, as much as he is maligned, I think people forget just how incredibly gifted that guy was. And he did so many things well that I think a quarterback like Tom Brady could take advantage of in terms of instinctual football play, in terms of breaking off routes, and in terms of seeing where the defense is. A very different kind of wide receiver than what Julio Jones is, especially now at this point in Julio Jones's career. I feel like I'm the Debbie Downer in this group. Like I'm concerned that Julio is going to get overrated now because he's with Tom Brady, and we're not going to take into account enough the age of the player, the wear and tear of the player, and what he has left to give. I also kind of wonder that, you know, when you take Gronk out, that other big bodied guy, if Julio ends up running more play like situations where stuff that would have gone to Gronk down the seam or things like that, maybe that's what Julio's new role could be. And that part of the field, potentially. I'm concerned because this is certainly a high-profile signing, a high-profile situation. I know this is going to be a tough sell for you, Matt, but you're very excited about this. Should we not take into account a little bit more of the health and the wear and tear on this player? Because it is football, and these guys do have an expiration date. We know that in the league. We've seen it time and time again. A lot of people thought last year was going to be the bounce for Julio. It was anything but the bounce. So now, do you think there's a chance he actually gets overvalued, potentially?
I don't think he's going to be overvalued. I would say people tend to focus so much on injuries, like Christian McCaffrey not being the number one pick, for instance, or Derrick Henry, there being worry about him, Saquon Barkley, you know, like I know he went in the second round here, but I feel like that was not like inappropriately aggressive, but that's on the higher end of where he's going in a lot of mocks or drafts right now. People just focus so much on injuries that I do think there is always opportunity with a talented player like Julio. You know, like things that are correlated with being able to bounce back from injury, like one, being young. So yeah, Julio doesn't have that. That's the one thing he has going against him. But being able to bounce back from injury is tied to being an elite athlete. And Julio is totally an elite athlete. He still has that athleticism. And then high draft capital, and Julio was like the number four pick in his draft class. I mean, I still get being concerned about it, but I just do not think that the market is going to value his upside. I think the market is going to be more focused on his downside.
Fair enough. After Jameson Williams, Jamal Williams went 1103, Tom Brady 1104. Boy, what a value there in the 11th round on Tom Brady, who threw for 5,000 yards last year. That's it, just 5,000 yards. J.D. McKissic at 1105. Rondale Moore went to you. Matthew Friedman, talk to us about this pick you made at 1106.
It's basically a prayer that the guy who was awesome in college and who is a freak athlete and who has a good quarterback tied to him will be able to take a step forward in his second season. You know, they did scheme the ball to Rondale Moore quite a bit last year. It was just for ridiculous low A-dot targets, like abnormally low A-dot targets, like running back type of targets. What if they actually use him like a wide receiver this year, especially in the first six games without DeAndre Hopkins? Like there is the natural end for him to get playing time. If he can produce then, maybe he actually gets more playing time whenever DeAndre Hopkins comes back. So taking a shot here in the 11th round, I will willingly bet on talent.
All right, Rondale Moore's the talent. Then Damian Pierce at 1107, Pat Freiermuth 1108, Christian Watson 1109, Tyler Algier at 1110, then Jahan Dotson, two guys in my queue. Once again, the Yeti and Justin snipe me. Good job, fellas. I ended up taking Devontae Parker and Van Jefferson, trying to fill out my wide receiving core a little bit, give myself some depth. I'll take some shots at running back a little later. I like my three main running backs, so I feel pretty good there. But Devontae Parker, once again, do I think he's going to stay healthy in a whole season? No, because I live in reality. But I think he is useful for some of these games. And I think Mac Jones actually is going to take a step forward this year, because I was the guy telling you last year this time that he was going to be the starter, and everyone thought I was nuts week one. Well, I am nuts, but he was the starter. Van Jefferson at 1201 is my other selection there too. Once again, looking at good offense as an opportunity, because I don't like Allen Robinson. I'm hedging with my instincts, which is saying Van Jefferson showed you some flashes. I think he can be better. He's got to tighten things up a little bit. To me, that's just about work and putting in that work. And if he does, there's certainly upside there for Van Jefferson. Kenneth Gainwell at 1202, Kenny Golladay at 1203, Cole Kmet at 1204, followed by Raheem Mostert at 1205. Brandon is up next here. When we're continuing to look here at the ecosystems, Mr. Ecosystem, Mr. Big Pod Energy, Andrew, talk to me about some of those shots later on, the wide receivers, especially that you like on some of those teams where you think there's upside, especially if there is an injury or more targets open up for them.
Yeah, I think the number one guy for me, and that kind of fits that ilk, would be Josh Palmer for the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm-hmm. I liked what I saw from him last year as a rookie, kind of playing both roles, both filling in for Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and finding success in both roles. So being used in the slot, also being used down the field on the outside. So, I mean, the training camp reports are that he is opening the season as the number three. We'll see how his role kind of evolves as, you know, Jalen Guyton is really the speed guy that they have, if they really want to kind of add an element of speed onto the offensive side of the football. But I just think that Josh Palmer is one of the talented guys on the roster and has intrinsic upside based on if Allen gets banged up, like he can fill in the Allen role in the slot. If Mike Williams gets banged up, okay, now you have someone that can fill in the red zone. So just the fact that he was able to step up last year gives me faith that he can duplicate that production if given the opportunity again.
And you've stepped up the vocabulary, intrinsic. See, Matthew Friedman, you're rubbing off on everybody. Such good things here. Matthew Stafford goes, you go ahead and finally take a quarterback. It's Russell Wilson at 1207. So let's talk about Russ with the Denver Broncos in that new spot for him.
Yeah, you know, at this point I wasn't really liking a lot of the wide receiver options available. Not a fan of some of the running backs available. I would have been fine waiting on quarterback, but Russell Wilson, I think, fell significantly down the board. And I still think he is, you know, quote unquote, Russell Wilson. Like, I still think he's the guy that we saw cook early the past couple of seasons. He had a devastating hand injury last year, which really derailed his season. But before that, he still looked like a top five, top six quarterback. He's in a system with someone who I think is going to let him throw the ball more. He's got the wide receiver talent around him. He might have the best quartet, you know, one through four of wide receivers in the league. All of those guys certainly have upside. And he's got pretty good tight ends too, good pass catching running backs. Yeah, I just I think at this point you kind of take the shot on a guy who has something to prove and who is still good and has surrounding talent around him.
I agree. I mean, I think it's a tremendous value here. I think the guy with a lot to prove who's still in his prime age-wise is a very good investment for even, don't you think? I mean, that all kind of lines up in my thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. The part that I hate is taking a quarterback before I sort of want to. But I didn't really like some of the other options available on the board.
Well, we're getting to the end of days here. We are in round 12. So, you know, it's not all going to be sunshine and roses. At least you're getting a good player on your roster at the end of the day. There will be something called the waiver wire, which, by the way, we'll have lots of content for that coming up on fantasypros.com with all the pods and all the articles and the live streams. So we're your one-stop shop for waiver wire. Let me tell you, Chris, our producer, has a whole actual musical planned out every single Monday for the Waiver Wire show. It's going to be very exciting. We got some fun things in the chat here. Andrew, I'm going to ask you, this is from Curtis. Do the Cowboys make the playoffs this year? A little fun, real football question. What are your thoughts on the Cowboys' chances in that NFC East?
I think it's probably pretty good. I think that the NFC East is just hasn't been a very competitive division. And I think their path to getting there is just a lot easier than it is for a lot of other teams. Especially when you're just looking at the NFC, it's kind of like wide open. Like the AFC has so many good quarterbacks and the NFC has like a couple teams that you're like, okay, like here are the cream of the crop, but it's wide open. So I just think that there's a big advantage to playing in the NFC to rack up wins. They play in a weak division. So I think that Dallas, I think that they probably will be a postseason team, even if they're not as good as they were last year.
All right, you got 10 seconds to make your pick. So after Russell Wilson left, Khalil Herbert went at 1208, one of my favorite late round picks. Mark Ingram at 1209. Joshua Palmer, you talked up, and Boston was listening. Selected him at 1210. Mecole Hardman at 1211. And Big Pot Energy goes back into the running back well yet again. You can see he is throwing darts, hoping to hit somebody who carries the football 15 times a game. Sony Michel and Tyrion Davis Price. Pour a little out for Debro today because TDP is drafted indeed to Andrew Erickson. So talk to me about these two selections you made here, Andrew.
Well, with the Sony Michel pick, I'm looking at that Miami backfield as being really undervalued just overall. I know that a lot of the attention has been on the receivers and Tua Tagovailoa, but who is the red zone back? Like, you know, looking at Chase Edmonds, he's been, you know, an efficient running back. He's been a pass catcher, but one thing he's never been has been a red zone running back, you know, his entire NFL career. Sony Michel, during the last 8 weeks of the season, was first in red zone touches as a running back. Now, obviously, that was playing in the Rams offense, but, you know, he has an established pedigree as a former first round pick that he can handle a three down workload. Like, he can be the guy that you can use in the red zone and be the goal line back. I would not be surprised at all when Miami comes out week one against the Patriots, Sony Michel lines up in the goal line formation and scores a touchdown. And he's the guy that people add on the waiver wire week one. So I like Michelle for that reason. And then Tyrion Davis Price, I know we talked about him a little bit when the Elijah Mitchell pick went off the board. You're just kind of betting on, okay, this is a big bruising running back that they probably look at as somewhat kind of insurance for Elijah Mitchell, who got banged up a lot last year. Like, Tyrion Davis Price, the way that the coaches talked about him in the kind of like the pre-draft process was they viewed him as their finisher. Like, He may not be the guy that we see a lot of in the beginning of the season, so maybe he gets dropped in a lot of leagues, but, you know, his body type, when they're winning in games down the road, as they try to, like, trudge on to the postseason, like, you're going to see a lot of Tyrion Davis Price in the fourth quarter of a lot of games, I think. And I think that's where you're going to see a lot of fantasy production come in, especially if guys get banged up on the 49ers, which every year it just seems to happen with these running backs. They just get banged up.
Dawson Knox goes at 1302, then Brian Robinson, 1303, KJ Osborne, another one of my favorite guys, at 1304 for Buenos Aires. Nice pick there, Buenos Aires. Miracle Workers select Aaron Rodgers at the 1305. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Matthew Friedman, talk to us about your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers' new Nicolas Cage Con Air look and also your selection at 1306.
Yeah, really nailed the look there that he was going for.
Put the bunny in the box, baby. Put the bunny back in the box. Yeah.
I mean, it's uncanny, but I mean, I don't know what to make of Rodgers except that he's a Hall of Famer, really good. And I don't think the wide receivers matter all that much around him. Like, I think it matters for fantasy. And so, yeah, he should fall down the board here, but for reality, I still think he's going to be pretty efficient on a per drop back basis. And I think the Packers are still going to be a really good team that rely more on the running game this year and the short passing game, which makes sense. That's why Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon are highly valued players this year, where Aaron Rodgers is falling down the board.
All right, there you have it. And you took Gus Edwards with your selection at 1306. So your feelings about the Gus Bus coming back from his injury.
Yeah, his injury reportedly was not as severe as the one for J.K. Dobbins. It was just a single ligament injury versus J.K. Dobbins, who had multiple ligaments torn. So Edwards, I think, maybe has a better chance of returning early in the season compared to J.K. Dobbins. And even if they both return at the same time, I think we're going to see a very run-heavy approach from the Ravens, and we've seen Edwards have success as the rotational back there. So getting him this late in the draft is something that I wouldn't say it feels like a no-brainer, but it's just something to add depth to the running back room.
All right. Adding depth is what we're trying to do right now. I'm going to go ahead and Zamir White went right before me. So now I'm on tilt. I don't like any of the selections here that I have. So another good job by the people in our chat. I'm just going to go ahead and continue to take some depth here. Justin Fields is very intriguing, but I'm going to go ahead and take another quarterback here. And I still got Derek Carr above in my rankings here. And then I'm going to go ahead and troll Matthew Friedman here and take Deontay Foreman, because I'm sure he's going to play about 11 or 12 games this year when Christian McCaffrey's out, and just have some fun here. Just take a little backup role. So after Gus Edwards goes, Darrell Williams, DJ Shark, then you have Marlon Mack, Corey Davis, Zamir White at 1311. I took Carr at 1312 and Foreman at 141. Just again, this is that end of days where these guys are probably going to get cut. There's going to be opportunities. You know, people say that sometimes you get one or two guys that come out of these last two rounds that really make something of themselves. I think some of those guys already went. I think Robinson's one of those guys who just went in the last round. Osborne's one of those guys that just went. Zamir White, I think, has potential for that. And a lot of them are off the board. After I took Deontay Foreman, Donovan Peoples-Jones goes at 14.02. Was it Tyler Batty goes off for 14.03 from Baltimore, 14.04. Josh is up next. Once again, I want to thank everybody who hung with us for these drafts today, who gave up their time to be a part of this draft. And if you want to be part of the next one, potentially, make sure you go join our Discord over at fantasypros.com/chat. It's free to join. If you're a premium member, you get access to amazing pluses like our AMA channels, where you can go directly to Andrew Erickson, directly to Matthew Friedman, directly to me, all the analysts here, ask us questions. We also do stage, all of us do stages where we can actually interact with you, hang out, talk about your teams, talk about your trades, your lineups, all the things that matter most when we're in season. A lot of our stages people last year that were stages regulars, where you come up like a radio show and talk to us, they won a lot of championships last year because we sat and we actually got to talk out things, as opposed to just the interactions on Twitter is great and stuff, but it's kind of limited. Being able to go through rosters and really hash things out, that's the way to go. So I encourage everybody to join our Fantasy Pros family, and also join the Fantasy Pros premium side of things too, because if you go to fantasypros.com/offers right now, you can get 12 free months of our premium product at Fantasy Pros. That's all of our draft software with sync. It's the cheat sheets you get with that for your draft. It's the in-season My Playbook stuff, where it helps you manage all your teams. You can set all your lineups. You got three teams on Yahoo. You got four on Sleeper. You got one on ESPN. You can set all your lineups just from Fantasy Pros. Did you know that? Because I didn't when I started working here a couple years ago. And now that I know, it's the only place to do that. And you get 12 free months of the premium product to take you preseason through the season. It's miraculous. Go check out fantasypros.com/offers and then go and turn that into Fantasy Pros tools for your entire season. George Pickens, 14.04. Love the talent. That's another guy I had my eye on as well. Eco Collins at 14.05. AJ Green at 14.06. And then Matthew Friedman, staying with the theme. There you go. I would love this team in 2017. This team would be so exciting to me. Julio Jones and Will Fuller. Talk to me about this selection here in the last dart throw. Where does he sign?
I have no idea where he signs, but it almost doesn't matter. Whenever he signs somewhere, he's going to be five rounds higher than this.
Do you agree with Cameron's statement here on the chat? I feel like Friedman hates every one of his own picks. Is that true?
That would have been the case no matter who I picked.
That's why I like you. You stay on brand. You are true to yourself. That was very zen. I like that. Mike Gesicki at 14.08. Wandell Robinson at 14.09. Pierre Strong, another good pick at 14.10. Jalvin is up next, followed by Erickson. And then we will see who won the draft. I can assure you, with the two free agents, that Matthew Friedman has finished dead last in the grading today. Yes. Perhaps we will revisit this roster in week 15 and say, look at this. Look at what that guy did. He didn't like any of his picks. Nobody else did either. And it turned out to be the best of all the drafts. It's very possible that is the fickle beast that is fantasy football. We all know that. Andrew Erickson, who's going to be Mr. Irrelevant for you? Are you going to go take another dive into the Trey Sermon pool?
No, I'm good with that. I was going to take Will Fuller if Friedman hadn't taken him. So.
You guys need to stop hanging out on Slack so much. This is, we got to separate.
This is victory. This is a victory. Moral victory.
It's a moral victory. Maybe, perhaps. I don't know. James White goes, so big pot energy. Let's end this and let's see who won the draft and let's see who gave the good grades and who failed. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, the draft's actually telling me to take, or the draft wizard's trying to tell me to take Jameson Crowder, but it's been Isaiah McKenzie that's been running in the starting slot role for the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to go with Isaiah McKenzie. Hope for a breakout from our special teams ace.
There you go. A little special teams action from Erickson. I got a C minus, Erickson. What did you get?
I got a C.
A C. Okay. So you're only slightly more average
76.
Than me.
76.
Guys, an A minus.
Wow.
An A minus.
Yeah. I don't understand. How in the world did that happen? See, this is what happens when you...
I drafted value.
See, this is what happens when you're head of content falling somewhere down the board. Because you have access to all these different things and widgets that we don't. Us little peons further down. I could sense as the draft was going, Friedman's moving things around. He's moving pieces so he can go ahead and get the best potential grade. He did almost. I mean, unbelievable. You're number two despite taking two free agents. So Are you surprised by this? Just out of curiosity.
You know what? Maybe a little bit, but I think it shows how good our grading system actually is. Because I will
say... You did take value. That is true.
I will say, like, yeah, I had a weird draft, but I did get a number of guys at a discount, and I drafted upside players. Like, I think this is actually a pretty decent grade.
All right. Well, let's talk about who won the draft, and that was Z Clement, who won the draft. This was the one that actually was the big winner. Najee Harris, Mike Evans, Alvin Kamara, Josh Allen, Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hunter Renfrow, Damian Harris, got good value there on Harris, then James Cook, Ronald Jones, Pat Freiermuth, Raheem Mostert, DJ Chark, Nico Collins. So I love the starting team here, but again, that's what matters the most. Who are the starters for your squad? Erickson, as you look back here on this draft, is this a team that you feel good about? You've got Trey Lance, Jonathan Taylor, Ramondre Stevenson, T. Higgins, Pittman, Marquise Brown, Dalton Schultz, Bateman, London, Spiller, Sony Michel, Rashad White, TDP, and Isaiah McKenzie. Would you go to war with this?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, week one is going to be a little shaky because I'm going to have to start Ramondre Stevenson probably. And I mean, he's not a starting running back. So that's definitely a glaring hole in my roster, but you know, you don't need to necessarily win week one. Like, you're trying to win at the end of the season, week 16, week 17. And my team is filled with wide receivers that they're all not going to hit, but I took enough shots that I'm going to have some difference making wide receivers on my roster. And having the ability to play the waiver wire is the whole idea behind the strategy of going, you know, with my one stud running back at Jonathan Taylor, and then now having a rotating carousel of RB2s. So it's like, okay, if Isaiah Spiller has a bigger role with the Chargers, okay, I can start him. Oh, Leonard Fournette, still fat. Okay, I can start Rashad White instead. Elijah Mitchell goes
That's
down.
Not nice.
Okay, Tyrion Davis Price.
He's fit fat like me. Like, you, I can eat a sleeve of Oreos and go run a 5K right
eat
now.
Eat the cookie. He eats the cookie.
I can do it before or after the 5K. It's fine. Fit fat. That's where it's at. The draft wizard did not care for my draft at all, obviously. I was pretty low on these standings. Joe Burrow, Cam Akers, Travis Etienne. We've also got Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams on this team with Gabriel Davis, Hockenson, AJ Dillon. I like this team. I don't care what you say, draft wizard. Let's go to your team, Friedman, the all-value team. Russell Wilson, you got him late at quarterback. Eckler, you got him a little later than typically he's going in the top three picks in the PPR. He went later because of that wide receiver run. Then you took Antonio Gibson super late. DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, Michael Thomas. We'll see if he ever sees the field again. Mark Andrews, Eli Mitchell, Cordero Patterson, Kadarius Toney, Rondell Moore, Gus Edwards, Will Fuller, Julio Jones. This is one of the most first or last teams I have ever seen in all these mock drafts that we've done. So obviously the draft wizard, though, thinks your prospects are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few picks I would like to have back. For instance, maybe I take James Cook instead of Cordarrelle Patterson, something like that. But I actually don't hate my draft. And I will say the one expert at Fantasy Pros who really does love my draft is Matthew Friedman, who gave it a 98 out of 100 in the rankings. So, you know, stay true to yourself.
In the words of T.O., I love me some me. There you go. And once again, if you love this video, make sure you like it. Hit that little like button on the YouTube channel. Subscribe. Hope you left a comment here and click that little bell till it goes ding for the notifications. And you might win that Gabriel Davis jersey thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. If you've got a hankering for a mock draft after this, when you should, head over to fantasypros.com. And go ahead and check out the Draft Wizard. We have the multi-user draft software available. You can send links, create mocks. You can go into mocks that are running with other people, or you can just run simulations. And I encourage everybody to make sure that you go move up to the premium package here at Fantasy Pros. Get the tools for your draft. Get the tools for in-season management as well. Huge help. Waiver wire pickups. Who's available. Set your lineups. Go to fantasypros.com/offers as well as fantasypros.com/draftwizard. And I'm telling you, man, we got the best tools on the planet. There's no excuses. When you're part of us here, Fantasy Pros, and you're part of the Fantasy Pros family, we got you covered because we understand winning, and that's what we're about here. I want to thank Chris for doing a phenomenal job here setting everything up for us. My goodness. You know, Friedman, you got to give this guy a raise. No, seriously, because he said, make sure you tell Friedman at the end of the show, give me a raise. He just works so hard for us all the time, running this live stream, creating all these fantastic things, and keeping us up to date with the news. For more on the Julio Jones stuff, You can go to fantasypros.com too. I'm sure we'll have a write-up on the impact of that as soon as this draft is over. And that's it, boys and girls. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Erickson and Matthew Friedman, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.